Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
On Twitter, at AKinkabwala from the NFL Network. She's fantastic, and she joins us right now. Aditi, how the hell are you?
I've been better.
Aditi, when we got week one here, okay? So let me ask you this. If I got a Browns football team getting ready for week one, you know historically how things have gone. If I'm... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. What were you going to say?
No, go right ahead. I'm very sorry about that.
Oh, no. There are people who are, they've called us, they've been a little bit like, well, if we lose here, we lose. Like, it's no big deal. And I'm thinking, are we kind of already setting ourselves up for like, it's a typical week one here, which I don't like. I think that this is a great chance to make a statement to start off the season.
Well, I tend to, of course, agree with you. And I don't think there's a single person in that locker room who's preparing right now to lose. You know, I had this tremendous conversation last month with Dara Torres, who, of course, you know, is the multi-time Olympian and the star swimmer and all of that. And it was sort of another person on the panel was saying, how come we don't celebrate every medal? How come we don't celebrate silver? How come we don't celebrate bronze? Why do we say it's such a disappointment that, for instance, the women's national soccer team didn't win gold? And Dara Torres said, I don't train to win silver. I don't train to win bronze. And so it's the exact same point. These players aren't preparing to lose to a really good Kansas City team. These players know that a year ago they were unbelievably close. They know that they have a team that absolutely can match up with anyone. They know they have a challenge in going on the road to arguably one of the three loudest stadiums in the country, but they're full on preparing to win. So why should you be sitting here saying, I don't care, a good showing is all we need to feel good?
Well, I mean,
at the end of the day, look, what your season record is not going to have a half point for a good showing.
It's true.
Yeah, Didi, I mean, I'm in agreement with you, but we've been talking about, you know, who this game means more. And I know now there's 17 games, and coaches are going to have to adjust to this. And we'll see, you know, how many wins it's ultimately going to take to not only get to the playoffs, maybe win the division, maybe get home field advantage. But to that end, I still think, I said this is a bigger game for the Browns. I think the Chiefs have been there, done that. Yeah, they want to see their offensive line, you know, be able to gel eventually. But Andy Reid is somebody who I think takes the long approach. I think Stefanski does too. But I still think it'd be nice for the Browns to get this W.
Well, of course. And again, the way you start is not how you finish. The Browns team that we saw week one a year ago was an absolute mess. And I was at that game. We've talked about this. I was in Baltimore for that. And it was a mess because they hadn't ever actually done the operation before. You know, they didn't know how they were calling in plays and how they were taking them and this, that, or the other. I mean, it was really their first time out together. But look at where they ended. They ended with a playoff appearance, a playoff win on the road, nearly a second, I mean, a very, very admirable showing in a second playoff game. So you can't say that week one is the be all end all, but that also doesn't mean that you get to sort of shrug your shoulders over whether you win or lose. I mean, you're still aiming to win. That's still the goal here.
How did they learn so quickly? Because you're right. I've blocked a lot of week one last year out of my mind, but there was just so many typical Browns confusing moments in that game. And then, no, they really started to get, it probably wasn't as complete as what they wanted it to be against Cincinnati week two, but they seemed to really pick up their operation very quickly after that football game.
I mean, you're talking about, when do they come to Pittsburgh and Baker opened the game with that pick six? Minka Fitzpatrick took the ball back. That was week six, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So I wouldn't argue that it just was a flip of a switch. I think that there was a learning process through the early part of the season. And the big difference is that Kevin Stefanski and his staff prepared this team to believe it could indeed gut out wins. And they did manage to gut out some wins. And, you know, but it wasn't – when you think about the second half of the season, even though the Browns didn't go undefeated the second half of the season, they largely played consistently the second half of the season. Take out the Jets game when they didn't have a wide receiver, when basically, Ken, you should have suited up at wide receiver. But other than that, they pretty much played – their brand of football. I think the first half of the season, they were trying to figure out their brand of football. And again, credit to the coaches, credit to the coaching staff, credit to the tone and tenor set in that building, not only by them, but by Andrew Berry. Again, it goes back. And here, let me just say one more thing. I don't think it's fair to tag, if something bad happens this year, if there is a bad loss, if there is a dumb play, it's not fair to say the same old Browns, or that's a typical Browns thing, or of course that happened to the Browns, because these Browns are not the Browns of a few years ago. These Browns are not the Browns of when you were growing up. Seriously, and I just feel like at some point that's such a – it's a baggage that fans and sports writers maybe carry, but it's not the baggage that the players on that team carry. I mean – I remember a year ago leading into week 17 against the Steelers, and there were these constant questions about how many times in a row the Steelers had beaten the Browns or how many times the Browns had lost in Pittsburgh or, you know, whatever. And it was sort of like, okay, but who on the team was actually around for any of that, that it really matters? Like, do we think Baker Mayfield carries the weight of an 18-year streak? I mean, the kid's barely 18 years old himself, you know? I don't really mean that, but you know where I'm going with this.
I do.
So that's just my little fair warning at this moment, since I, you know, from on high, as I'm offering my wise words, something bad is going to happen this season. That's the nature of how things are. The chances of the Browns going 17-0 and then winning every game in the playoffs is really, I mean, I don't know what you want me to eat. I'll eat my words if that does indeed happen. But the chances are slim, slim, slim. So when something bad happens, don't get on the radio Monday morning and say, oh, my God, typical Browns.
Yeah, I'm past it. I agree with you. I think most of us should be past it. Aditi joined us on the hotline. So this is what's fascinating to me is that we're bringing back everybody. You're bringing back your coaching staff. The entire offense is coming back, and you get a healthy Odell Beckham. But we know how this league works. You can't just run it back and expect stuff to always work, no matter how formidable it is. Look at the Rams after they won the Super Bowl, and it was basically McVay telling Goff what to call. And then all of a sudden, all those reads that magically worked one year on their way to the Super Bowl, they kind of start to disappear. I'll be curious to see what wrinkles Stefanski, Baker, the running game have in store for this season, because that to me is where the kind of the cat and mouse game is so fascinating in the NFL.
And you should expect there to be more. You know, this takes me back to a few years ago. So it was the year that Lamar Jackson replaced Joe Flacco and obviously won whatever it was, 8 games in a row until that playoff loss, and took the league by storm. And everybody kept saying, oh, well, you know, now they'll have an offseason to figure it out. Now they'll have an offseason to figure out the Ravens, and the Ravens won't have the same success. And I remember John Harbaugh saying, do they think we're not working in the offseason too? Do they think we're not going to be coming up with new wrinkles in the offseason? And that's exactly what every single coaching staff does. So if the Browns thought that they were going to do the exact same thing that they did a year ago, well, then they're not going to win many games or score many points, because everybody already knows what that is. You have to expect some sort of wrinkles. You have to. And there are things that we talk about, like, oh, two running backs on the field at the same time. No running backs on the field. But there are other things beyond that, too.
Aditi, we were listening to a podcast on our trip, Lima and I were, over the weekend, and it was Sean McVay talking to Kyle Shanahan.
Oh, not the Dave Attell one?
Not the Dave Attell podcast, no. But Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay were talking about how it's difficult to keep things fresh, especially when they find something new. Has Kevin Stefanski already thought, do you think Kevin Stefanski has already thought, not just about this year, but what they plan on doing in 2022, 2023, as defenses start to figure out the new way of running the ball, the new way of throwing the ball, play action, how much of a cheat code play action can be, and how they'll adjust to those defensive adjustments?
Have they already spent time doing that? Is that what the question is?
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
That was a long question, a terrible question by me. I apologize, but yes, that was the question.
No, but again, it's sort of, we're all professionals here. We all have jobs. You know, this is, I think I had said this to you. I might have done this plug before, but we just launched, Mike Yam and myself. Mike Yam is a gentleman that I work with at the NFL Network, a brilliant anchor. He and I launched a podcast with iHeartRadio, NFL and iHeartRadio.
Well, you're not allowed to say our
competition. It's a competition.
Go ahead.
Aditi.
Sorry. Talk about the. Okay, well, you can download it on Spotify or Apple or wherever you get your podcast. Anyway,
yes.
The podcast is called NFL Explained, and what it is supposed to be sort of the evergreen, timeless questions in the NFL. Like our first episode was, how did every NFC team get its name? Then it's, how did every AFC team get its name? Then our third episode is going to be on goalposts, everything you ever wanted to know about them. Why are they yellow? Why are they 35 feet in the air? Justin Tucker's going to come talk to us like that. So anyway, one of the episodes we're going to do is, what is an actual work week like for an NFL player? Because I'm telling you guys, I think the majority of people sit here and think, oh, yeah, these guys just, you know, they practice a few hours a day, they show up on Sunday, they play a game, and they get paid an ungodly amount of money. And that translates to coaches, too. Like, these, the same way that the players work at their craft, these coaches are working constantly. Just because you don't see them in July doesn't mean that they're really, truly stepping away and not constantly visiting other people and trying to innovate. That's why you hear about coaches going on these tours and huddling with their friends.
All right, Aditi, let's talk about, you know, this defense for the Browns, because there's some excitement with it. They retooled. Remember when the team retooled the offense a year ago? It worked, so there's some confidence from Browns fans. But how reliable can this be when you got guys like Jadeveon Clowney, who's had, you know, his issue staying on the field? Somebody like Tack McKinley, who was just missing in action for most of camp and now comes back, and he's had a disappointing career. And some guys in the secondary who just have not been healthy and have not been able to really practice.
I think this, obviously you have concern, but I don't think that there's any coach right now in the NFL that's sitting here saying, okay, I feel great about everything. I think that's the nature of the game too, that there are concerns, and you have to hope that, you know, the health princess looks out for you, the health angels, whatever, the health gods look out for you to some degree. I don't think that, oh my gosh, look at the Ravens, who lost another running back yesterday. The first, you think that they lose J.K. Dobbins, and clearly there was a reason that J.K. Dobbins is their starter over Gus Edwards, but it was like, okay, this is terrible, this is sad, but there's still a stable of running backs, this is still the best running team in the NFL, and now they lost one of the guys that was supposed to help replace J.K. Dobbins. I mean, that's dire. That's more dire than what's happening in Berea right now. It almost feels to me like you're borrowing trouble a little bit.
Aditi.
Like, what if this guy doesn't make it? What if this guy doesn't get healthy? What if? Why don't we just do the half glass full thing for a little while?
I know we're talking Browns. I have to ask you about this. This seems to be getting close to a dire situation with T.J. Watt and the Steelers. Yeah. He didn't really practice yesterday, at least in team settings. They're going to get something done. Could we actually see him sit out week one? I just don't think that's possible.
I don't either, and we're talking to Mike Tomlin today, and you know, I mean, I certainly won't be afraid to ask some questions. He's been putting us off throughout camp when the question of T.J. Watt comes up, and I think that, you know, it is not surprising that it is not done yet, because the Steelers do have a history of having it go right down to the wire. It's disappointing. TJ has made his position clear, known, in that he was not going to do team drills and was not going to participate in live action until this deal got done. There were no bad feelings from his teammates or even his coach, even his defensive coordinator, who was in the league for a long time, who played over a decade in the NFL himself, said he's got to protect himself. But now you've gotten to this point where the Steelers have a huge opening game against the Bills, and T.J. Watt has had zero live action. He hasn't hit anybody. He hasn't taken any hits. And that's something that he's not going to be able to go out there and play 60 snaps and be the and argue that he is the one of the leading candidates for defensive player of the year week one when he hasn't put on pads and hit. He hasn't had pads on. He hasn't had pads on and hit since last what? Since that playoff loss to the Browns. What was that? January.
Yeah.
That's not insignificant. And so there's two parts to this. One, why is this dragging on? But I still think something's getting done. I don't think it's in Kevin Colbert's nature to ever so brutally turn a player off. And I think that TJ has been somewhat sort of removed. You know, from what I've been told, all he's telling his teammates or his coaches is they're working on it. They're working on it. You know, he's not expressing any sort of public frustration, but I don't know. It's the same thing that I said to you about the Browns last year at week one.
Yeah.
It took a while to sort of get their sea legs, to figure out what they were doing. Well, obviously that happens with a player as well. Not for him to figure out what he's doing, not for him to know the defense. You hit in the game. You have to hit to know how to hit. I mean, it's really, this makes me think of an old coach that I used to know with the Giants when the CBA changed and, you know, the 2-a-days changed and there just wasn't as much hitting. He was like, the first month of the NFL season has the worst tackling ever. And I remember him saying to me, he said, do you want to know why it has the worst tackling ever? Because you have to actually tackle to know how to tackle. And when coaches stopped tackling in camp, you sort of saw crappy tackling. This is sort of the same exact thing.
Make sure you
follow. Yes, there's a muscle memory, but anyway, go ahead.
No, I you're going to hate me. You know what time it is. I have
time to go. That's great. I need to go for my run anyway. So,
how many miles are you going to run today?
In between 4 and 5.
Oh,
I need a new day.
Gosh.
Ken, you know this. Today's my daughter's birthday, by the way, guys.
Oh.
Today is the day that my daughter was born in the beautiful city of Cleveland 8 weeks early, scaring the crap out of me.
Happy birthday to her. I hope you have a wonderful run, and we hope that you guys will have a wonderful day.
Thank you. And Dr. I. Felice, if you're out there listening, I will never, ever forget you. Cleveland Clinic, the doctor who delivered my baby, who wanted to talk about Baker Mayfield while I was in labor.
Get your mind off the labor, doesn't it?
Have a great day, guys. Have a great week one. Happy week one to everyone.
You too. Aditi Kinkabwala on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Follow her on Twitter at @akinkabwala. 216-578-0092. We got Would You Rather coming up. There's something I wanted to highlight there. First half of the season, they were figuring out their brand of football. I think that can't be overstated. That all coming up. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima, live on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.